We're going to let our kids slip out to children's church. I meant to mention also next Sunday there'll be no children's church, but we do offer our nursery. So we invite our kids to sit with their parents next Sunday. John chapter number 19 is our text today. Gospel of John chapter 19. I'm going to invite Brother Frank, go ahead and come on up here, and after we read our scripture this morning, Brother Frank's going to sing our special for us just before the message. If you're able to stand with me as we read our text found in John chapter 19, beginning in verse 25. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister. There was Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus saith, I thirst. Now there was yet a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture that reminds us of the last moment that you were on the face of this earth in the form of man and all God. Lord, we thank you that you reside with us. Lord, you are here today as all God because you rose again. And Lord, you did not remain on that cross, but Lord, you allowed yourself to die in our place, to take upon our sin debt. And we thank you for the powerful words that we read here, Lord, when you stated it is finished, meaning, Lord, it was paid in full. Now, Lord, I just pray that we'll take this moment that we have and studying and preaching your word today, and Lord, comprehend everything that you would have us to take in and apply. Lord, leaving here a different people when we came. And Lord, bless in the remainder of this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Brother Frank, you come sing for us if you
would. Amen. Always enjoy hearing that song. It has a wonderful message to it, and I'm sure many of you know that message of song. Thank you, Brother Frank. John chapter 19 this morning. We'll look at our text verse once again, which is verse 30. The reason I want to draw your attention to verse 30, because actually that's where the title of our message is found this morning. And also, more importantly, it was one of the last statements that Jesus made upon the cross of Calvary. And by the way, when this statement that Jesus made on the cross, one of the last statements he made, what that means to us today is the fact that what Jesus did was paid in full. You know, we've been looking back to the events on Calvary. We've been looking back. As we look back, we listen to the words which the Lord Jesus Christ spoke from the cross. We've heard the cry of forgiveness. Last week we looked at that, one of the first statements that Jesus made. And today in verse 30 we find where Jesus said some very powerful words and meaningful words. It says, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. That was last week. But yet, today, as he said, It is what? It is finished. It's finished. We've heard the cry of salvation as Jesus told the thief that day. Jesus says, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise." You read in the Gospels and you hear the cry of provision that Jesus spoke concerning Mary and John. We find the cry of desertion as he asked, "My Father," he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then we find the cry of suffering as Jesus says, "I thirst," there in verse 28. And this morning we hear yet another cry. But yet this cry is different from the other cries. Because for all of us today and what Jesus was establishing here on the cross, although it was a very difficult time period. But this cry that Jesus shouted from the cross, and it was a cry of, "It is finished," which was a cry of victory. You see, the entire work of redemption had been brought to completion when Jesus said those words. Back in the day of, if you were a tax collector in Jesus' day, and you paid your taxes, and it's known that this was a true fact because on some of the papyrus that they had found in Greek, there was one word that represented "it is finished." And they would write that one word on the end of the, I guess, the tax form or whatever, that it was, they would write in the Greek, "it is finished," which simply meant paid in full. You see, that our sin debt was paid in full. When Jesus says it is finished, it means it's paid in full. No one took Jesus' life, by the way, when he was on the cross, because we know that Jesus voluntarily and willingly gave up his life for every single one of us. You know, there are many people who leave this world with their task unfinished. The pen drops from the writer's hand. The artist's brush falls before the painting is done. But Christ is the great finisher, is he not? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "He is the author and the finisher of our faith." So I'm glad today that Jesus was not a quitter. I'm glad that he did not call those 10,000 angels as he could have done. There are many times that he could have quit from a human perspective, but he pressed on knowing that the joy that was beyond the suffering and shame of the cross would soon come. You see, because he didn't quit, we can be saved today. Because he didn't quit, many of you have come to know Christ as Savior. You see, we can have victory through Jesus Christ because he was willing to endure the horror of Calvary that we might be saved. And praise God for that. And so we shout along with Jesus, "It is finished, paid in full." And there are three things that this meant. That phrase, or that last statement that Jesus made when he says, "It is finished." The first thing, if you're taking note, write this down if you want. It'll be on the screen. But this meant that all the prophecies that were connected with his life and death had been fulfilled. All of the prophecies. Now, by that I mean that everything that was prophesied in the Old Testament before Jesus was even born or even went to the cross, there are a number of things that were prophesied that were going to take place that actually took place. You see, how do we know that? Well, first of all, we know that because the Bible is true. That what we have before us today is the inspired, infallible Word of God that was breathed by God out to at least 40 men that we know of that God spoke to. There are 66 books of the Bible that are in those 66 books. We have wrapped up there the promises of God. And many of the promises are prophecies that had been prophesied that have already come to pass. It is truly God's word is true because of not the fact that I say it's true. It's not the fact that you say it's true. It's true because God says it's true. It's true because it is truth. And you see, if God predicts or if God promises a thing, you can know and I can know that it's going to come to pass. That's why it would do good for those in Washington, D.C. to just take the Bible out and just follow the Word of God, and that would help matters up there. Don't you think that would clean some things really up pretty good, wouldn't it? It just take the Bible out and see what God's already prophesied, and let's just follow the Bible. But, of course, you know, that's the advice I would give them. But, you know, that advice has been given to them, but it's fallen on deaf ears. And sadly, we're paying a price in this country because we're not following the truths of God's Word. Most recently, as we are in America, the first time I've known it to happen since in my lifetime, we're beginning to turn our backs on Israel. And we know that when that happens, that America is opening themselves up for judgment of God. Now, that's a different message in and of itself. But would you agree with me that the Bible is true today? It is. Thank God for it. I want you to notice with me some prophecies that Christ fulfilled. And you'll recognize these. These are things that you can say, oh yeah, I've read that. I know it's come about. First of all, would you agree that Jesus was born of a virgin? That was one of the prophecies that were fulfilled. And of course, that was prophesied in the Old Testament. The Bible says that not only was he born of a virgin, but Jesus would be a descendant of David. Another prophecy that was fulfilled, that he would be named before he was born. Also, another prophecy says that he would be born in Bethlehem. And by the way, was he born in Bethlehem? If you believe the Bible says that's where he was born. And so that was one of the prophecies as well that was fulfilled. And also, the Bible says that he would be a forerunner, that he would have a forerunner, which would be John the Baptist, which he did. The Bible goes on to also to prophesy the fact that he would cause the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. That he would be despised and rejected of men. That Jesus would be hated without a cause. And as Jesus walked upon the face of the earth for 33 years, there are many who hated him just because he spoke the truth. And by the way, Jesus is hated today even. Just the name Jesus. Sadly, that name has been removed from being stated in many of our schools. And even on some military bases by chaplains. Just the name Jesus. And so we find that that was prophesied. We find that he would be betrayed by his friends. We find that he would be forsaken by the disciples. It was prophesied that he would be led to the slaughter and a number among and be led to the slaughter and be numbered among transgressors like the thieves on the cross. And we find that also that the soldiers would gamble for his garments, as we've read in Scripture. All of these events have been prophesied. There have been many others that have come about. But when Jesus said, "It is finished," upon the cross, those three words, those final words that he says, that, you know, we know that all these things have come to pass. Since every prophecy concerning his first coming has been fulfilled, we know that all the prophecies that speak about his second coming will come to pass. You see, his first coming was to be the Savior. You go back and you read in Luke chapter 2. I love the Christmas story, don't you? And every year we read that here in our church. And some of you have read it. You read it around family time. And, you know, it reminds us of why Jesus was born. Now, you know, we try to explain that to our kids. But we get to this part of the year and it becomes real to us. It should. And the fact that when he was born to die. You see, he first came to be that Savior of the world. And by the way, when he returns again, and he's coming again, I believe very soon. Now, I'm not one of these preachers who's going to set a date for you because I'd be wrong. Some of you would try to prove me wrong. And that would be fine, because I would be. Because the Bible has made it clear that no man knows the day nor the hour. But it does emphasize that we just need to be ready. We need to be ready because Jesus could appear at any moment, at any time. And by the way, there's not a prophecy today that stands in the way of His coming. You say, well, preacher, I thought that last person had to be saved. Yeah, I've heard that before. And of course, by the way, who knows if that last person hasn't been saved already? But anyway, the prophecies of God are in place for His coming. Now, when Jesus comes, He'll not come to rescue us or to go to the cross and die. He's already done that. But when He returns, He will come as the judge. He'll come as the judge, meaning that if you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you reject the free gift of salvation, then the Bible very plainly states that you have condemned yourself to hell. You know, and He comes as a judge. You know, as I like to make clear when I make a statement like that, God never sends one person to hell. There's not one person in hell because God sent them there. And I know that we believe that God's this big judge in heaven, that he's, and some people make Him out to be mean and unkind. But people who die and go to hell go there by their own choosing. You know, when we reject the opportunity to invite Jesus Christ into our heart as our Savior, it's a choice that we make. We can receive Him or we can reject Him. And sadly, some of you have family, some of you have friends that are living their life hoping they'll get to the end and maybe have the opportunity to receive Christ. And they may. But you know what? Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. He's coming as judge. Now, as a believer, thank God, what we will be judged on as a believer is what have you done for Christ since you've been saved? What have you done for Christ since you've accepted Him in your heart and life? And I mean, have you lived for the Lord? Are you living for God now? And those are things that will be judged. It won't be that God's going to bring up old sin. It won't be that God's going to dig things up that He's already died on the cross in our place and we've sought forgiveness. That's under the blood. Thank God for that. But what have you done as a believer, as a Christian for Christ since you've been saved? He says it is finished. The second thing I want you to keep in mind when He said it is finished, this meant that His sufferings were over. That when He died on the cross, it meant that His sufferings were over. He was called the man of sorrows. The Bible describes Him in that manner. It's a fitting title for the one who suffered at the hands of men, and also at Satan, and even God the Father allowed Him to suffer. You see, God bruised Him. God forsook Him on the cross because He bore our sins. God could not look upon sin when Jesus was upon the cross. But at that moment, during that time He was on the cross, He took upon your sin and mine. You see, when Jesus died, He died for our past, our present, and our future generations. So yes, He died for you. He died for me. And God had to turn His back on His only Son because God does not look upon sin. That's why there will be no sin in heaven. You see, His friends and His enemies inflicted pain upon Him. It was not just on the cross that He suffered, but He suffered all through life. As we made reference, He was the man of sorrows. He lived His life under the shadow of the cross. We know that by some of the statements that Jesus would often make as He lived His life under the shadow of the cross. And he made a statement in John chapter 2 at the wedding of Cana, where all the gladness and the laughter was going on at this particular wedding. And the shadow was there when He said, "My time is not yet come." Knowing that there was going to be a time that all this joy and laughter was going to be at a pause because He was going to be on that cross dying in your place and mine. When He talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 14, when He was talking to Nicodemus there, the shadow was there as He spoke about the Son of Man would be lifted up. And then James and John talked to him about a place of honor in his kingdom. They wanted to have that place of honor. And the shadow was there as he spoke of the cup of his sufferings that he would have to drink one day. Then in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, Peter declared him to be the Christ. And he spoke of how he must go to Jerusalem and be killed. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus spoke with Moses and Elijah concerning his death in Mark chapter 9 in verse 9 and 10. You see, the shadow of the cross was there when he was betrayed by Judas Iscariot in the garden of Gethsemane. The shadow of the cross was there when for 30 pieces of silver, which was equivalent in that day and time to maybe about 5 weeks of wages, that when Jesus was there in the when Judas went to meet with the priest, Judas says, "How much would you give me? How much would you give me?" It's right there in Scripture. Read it. Judas was paid off to betray Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And of course, after Judas realized what he did later, he committed suicide. Oh, listen. What a sad story that is, but it truly happened. In the shadow of the cross, Jesus was betrayed. So when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," it meant that all of his suffering was now over. It is finished. It's paid in full. And then point number three, this also meant, the words "it is finished" meant that his work of redemption was now accomplished. It's done. The work of Christ is now complete. That means that nothing needs to be added to his work on Calvary in order to redeem mankind. The 33 years that Jesus walked upon the face of the earth, all was leading to this point in time of going to the cross and dying in your place and mine. You say, "Preacher, I wasn't there that day." Oh yeah, we were there. We were there on the heart and mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every sin, listen to me, this is mind-boggling. It's hard for us to weigh this. But every sin that you've ever committed in your lifetime, even up to this point, Jesus died on that cross for. Every sin. You mean, "Preacher, back when I was a little boy at such and such, a little girl, I told this lie?" Yeah. Every sin that we committed. You know, when I think about that, now I've never wrote down every sin. Have you? Have you jotted down, "Well, there's another sin I did"? But I'm sure I've committed numerous sins. And you magnify that by how many people have lived on the face of the earth. And you think about, well, you see the cross, and yeah, people have died some gory deaths, and during this time period, people were often crucified. But it wasn't so much of all just, it wasn't so much the pain and suffering that Jesus took upon himself and the thorns and all, but knowing that he took upon our sin. Now, maybe you're not a bad person when you think about sin and you say, "Preacher, I've never murdered anybody. I've never," yeah, listen, but we're all sinners. And God weighs sin the same as He would a murder sin. We're all equal in that way. When Jesus cried, "It's finished," this meant that His work of redemption was now completed. That men want to add all sorts of things to His work of redemption. Good works. Sounds good. I'm going to get to heaven, preacher, because I'm a good person. I know some good people. Do you? I mean, I have some family members. My mom and dad, listen, thank God they're in heaven today. But overall, I think my mom and dad, as I'm sure you might say about yours, they were good people. But I'm glad they didn't live on their goodness to try to get them to heaven. There was a time in their life, like all of us, many of us in this room, had to come to realize it's not about how good we are, but it's the fact that I need Jesus. I need to invite Him in my life. I need to accept Him by faith. So good works, listen, so many like to add that. Some like to put baptism in there. Well, I need to be baptized to get to heaven. Listen, baptism is important, but only once you invite Christ as your Savior. Church membership, listen, a lot of folks have their name on a church roll, but just because your name's on the roll of a church doesn't mean your name's on the roll of heaven. Right? Listen, God has to be the one to write our name on the roll book of heaven in His blood. But it only takes place at the moment of salvation. When Christ says it is finished, that's exactly what He meant. It's done. We don't have to add to it, and man likes to add to it other things, but God says it is finished. So when He died on that cross, He did pay our sin debt. The phrase "it is finished" means it's paid in full. Wouldn't you like to go in the bank this week and they tell you, the banker says, "Boy, your mortgage has been paid in full." Now automatically you want to know who did it. That really, listen, I'd still rejoice no matter who did it. But listen, that's just a little mortgage payment. When Jesus says it's finished, that meant eternity. Me and Miss Linda, we got to talking about heaven. I asked her this morning, I said, "Miss Linda," we were over at the piano and we were talking. I said, "Miss Linda, wonder what's going on in heaven today? You ever think about that? Wonder what's going on in heaven right now as we speak? You think they're just sitting around bored a little bit and just twiddling their thumbs, just waiting for you to all, let's come on, let's get together. Man, I just don't see heaven being that way. You know, I don't see eternity being that way. Now, you know, I don't know if we're going to... Listen, I hate to bust your bubble, Alabama-Auburn fans, but there won't be any Alabama teams. There won't be any Auburn teams. I just don't believe that in heaven. Now, I don't know if there'll be any sports. I just don't fathom that. But God, He's holding out back the very best. We're not able to fathom what heaven's going to be like because there's a lot of things that we just don't know that God's holding back the best. He gives us a little glimpse about heaven in the Bible, but there's a lot of things about heaven God has not revealed to us till we get there. It's paid in full. It's finished. It meant the will of God for Him is now finished. It's complete. John 6:38 says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but to do the will of Him that sent me." He laid aside His robes of royalty and He took upon Himself the garments of sinful humanity for this purpose. You see, He was born for this purpose. He entered into the ministry for this purpose. He walked among men for this purpose. He sweat blood in Gethsemane for this purpose. He wore the crown of thorns for this purpose. He died on Calvary for this purpose, to be able to say, "It's finished. It's done. It's paid in full." Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost so they can be saved. He came to take away our sins. Now He has done so through the shedding of His blood. It's finished. When Jesus said, "It's finished," He wasn't just talking about a group of people here. When Jesus said, "It's finished," He called your name out. It's finished for you. Listen, I was on the heart and mind of Jesus on the cross. Although we may not have been born, we were not born at that time, but yet we were on His heart and His mind. He looked down and He saw these four ladies, His mother, in verse 25, and He called out, and He saw John, one of the disciples, and many of the disciples, John the Baptist, but also there are others that Jesus, He knew who they were, just like He knew who we were. We're on His heart. Let me ask you, is it finished for you today? Jesus died for our sins, but let me ask you, will you not receive Him if you haven't accepted Him as your Savior today? Will you not seek forgiveness? You see, to be able to truly enjoy the gift of salvation, we need to accept what He's done was for me. You see, to Jesus already paid the price. There's nothing that we can do to get into heaven to earn our way, but are we willing to accept that, hey, that's been done for me? And you do that by faith. You have to personalize that. I know John 3:16 says, for God so loved the what? The world, that He gave His only begotten Son. But when that was spoken, that was, we have to personalize that, don't we? To make it really meaningful. Because when He died for the world, He died for every one of us individually. Let me ask you, do you know the victory of having your sins forgiven? There's joy in knowing that, isn't there? There's peace that comes in knowing I've been forgiven. That what I've done in the past, thank God, it's under the blood. Why? Because of what Jesus did when He says, it is finished, it's paid in full. You can know the wonderful experience today of accepting Christ. Now is the accepted time. When? Today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. The question is, will you accept the Lord? Or will you reject Him? That's the question. Will you accept Him or reject Him? And by the way, some of you can leave here in the same way you came, not letting this affect you one bit. And sadly, that'll be the case. Some will put it off. But listen, today is the day of salvation. How many of you can raise your hand and say, I'm promised I'm going to live tomorrow. I'm going to be here. All right? None of us are promised tomorrow. Right, I'm sorry if I fooled you. All right? All right, and I may have should have worded that a little differently, but none of us are promised tomorrow. I'm not even promised the next hour. You're not even promised the next hour, and that's not. I don't make that statement in a sarcastic way, but we're planning for tomorrow, right? And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm planning on being around tomorrow. I've already got a list of things I need to get done tomorrow. You know what? Those things may never get done. Could happen that the Lord calls me out of here by the process of death, same with you. Or, Brother Frank, that trumpet's going to sing. And you know what? Just as quick as that trumpet sounds, we will leave here, those that know Christ as Savior, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Christian, let me ask you, are you fulfilling the purpose that God has for your life? Jesus says in John 20:21, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to proclaim this message. That yes, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, and yes, He cried out, it is finished, but it's paid in full. We need to proclaim that. And next Sunday, we'll rejoice together of celebrating that He's not on that cross. That's why you'll not see a picture hung up in this building with Jesus still on the cross. Because He's not there. It looks, I mean, it gets our attention, but yet, you know, when you find that Jesus is on that cross, that's a misrepresentation of what really is going on. Because He came off that cross. And yes, He was buried. And next Sunday, we'll celebrate the fact that He rose again together. But we don't have to wait till next Sunday to do that, do we? We can celebrate today that He's a living Lord. And He is. Do you know Him? If you don't, I invite you to come on this invitation. Let someone show you from God's Word how you can accept the Lord. Or maybe you have a family member or a friend that you're praying that God maybe will use you. As Jesus said to the disciples, He has sent them out to proclaim this message. Are you willing to do that? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed.